And thanks be to God that that is not only a song that we sing together, but God has that power to make something beautiful in every single one of our lives. Not only for us that are here in the room, not only for us who are watching online, but for every single human being that is in this world. It's the promise that God gives us. I want to invite y'all this morning into an Old Testament, reading from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, one of the prophets, Jeremiah chapter 18 is the verse that we will begin with and continue through verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 18, starting at verse 1, continuing through verse 6. I'm reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. You do not have to read from this version. You can find your own version as well. But Jeremiah chapter 18, starting at verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. And then the word of the Lord came to me: "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Almighty God, we are grateful that we are part of your house. We are grateful to be assembled this morning and grateful, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that we feel in this very moment. Lord, we know that these words that have been spoken in our midst are words that have the potential to give us life. And we just pray and ask that as our hearts come together and as we meditate before you, that, Lord, truly that you will fulfill that promise. That truly, Lord, that you will bring these words to life in our very own selves. And, Lord, I thank you for the words that you have given to me. I pray and ask that there will be words that are pleasing and are acceptable in your sight. For this we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Well, we are at the first Sunday in fall, and I wonder how many of you are happy about that. Happy about having, and I mean, we've already, and y'all know we live in Alabama, so it's just temporary at this point. But we've already got a little bit of cool weather that's around us like that. But imagine if we were stuck in summer. Imagine if we had a moment where we were stuck in summer and just a few more of those months of 98 degree plus temperatures, just a few more of that heat index where it reached all the way to 112 degrees, or just a few more of those days where it was just overwhelmingly high humidity. A few more summer months. How many of you would like to be stuck like that? How many of you would like to be stuck in that kind of pattern? I mean, what happens? What happens with seasons, or what happens when time, what happens when even life gets stuck? I mean, have you ever felt that way? Do you feel that way now? Do you feel like your life is stuck and feel like you just can't get to the next step? Or do you feel that maybe someone that you love, someone that you care about, that their life is stuck right now? Well, if you feel that way, If maybe you've been around someone who feels that way, there's a couple of questions. There's a couple of questions that you can raise, that you can lift up, and just sort of ask yourself. Shane Lopez wrote this book called Making Hope Happen. Create the future that you want for yourself and others. I mean, just how aspirational is that title? But he asked these questions in talking about making hope happen in our lives, getting past that place where we feel stuck. He says to ask these questions: will your future, or else maybe your friends, maybe someone in your family, but will your future be better than the present? And do you or they have the power to make it so? You see, when we find ourselves in places where we are stuck, and all of us feel that way at times, all of us feel like we've had moments when we've been beat down, when we've been punched, when we can't find a way to get back up, no exceptions. But when we answer yes to each of those questions, we take a step toward hope and a step away from hopelessness. You see, what I want to do over these next few weeks is I want us to talk about hope. I want to talk about a brand new series of sermons that's called Hope is the Difference. But over these next 6 weeks, that's what we're going to focus on. But over these next 6 weeks, I want to see not just good sermons, not just good conversations after the sermon or before the sermon, but what I want to see is this level of hope start to rise in our church. Whether we're online again, whether we're in the room, whether it's this hybrid mix where we find ourselves sometimes joining online, sometimes being here and showing up. But what I would like to see is that the level of hope raised in our whole community. And not just that, but spill over among the people that we live with. Even the people that we work with. Even the people that we find ourselves playing with, spending time with recreationally. Not just teaching, not just preaching, but imagine if we, over these next 6 weeks, became more hope-filled people. Now, we are far from the very first people to seek to have a more hope-filled life. Hope has risen to the level of a cardinal virtue over thousands of years. In fact, the Apostle Paul, most prominently in his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, will describe it this way. He will say, faith, hope, and love will always abide. Faith, hope, and love will always be around. They will always stay with us, clearly demonstrating the difference that hope makes. In fact, hope is studied among psychologists, among neurologists, even cardiologists pay attention to hope. Hope makes a difference when we exercise, even affecting our performance as teams. Do you imagine that in this season of college football, do you imagine that there is any coach that prepares their team in practice and is prepared on Saturday to take their team onto the field when not a single player on that team has any hope in their lives? Do you know any coach that would want to do that? Well, Sean Aker wrote a book. It's called The Happiness Advantage. Really aspirational kind of title. It says the 7 principles of positive psychology that fuel success and performance at work. But he noticed this. He noticed this in his own studies of human behavior. And he noticed that what was emergent, there is these baselines that people are always trying to get to. And then Sean Aker takes a step back and he says, what about this? If the goal is to get everyone to average, if the goal is to get everyone to a baseline, then who are the people that we become? And he says if we're trying to get only to average, only to baseline, we become people who are living merely average, mediocre lives. And it's a fascinating book and really kind of captured my attention, pointed me to something that I'd missed in my own life. Because it's challenging when we look at our own lives and ask ourselves, am I really living for average or baseline, or am I living for something more? Now, you'll have to forgive me for just a second, but I've got a couple of kids that are in band now. They're in beginning band. And I was in the band. I remember learning for the very first time those major and minor keys. It was in band that I heard that for the very first time. And so with this idea about major and minor lives, this idea about baseline and mediocre and a major life, I started wondering, well, what about that? Are we living major or minor lives? Imagine if you were called and equipped by God to live a major life, only to feel like your life was striking only minor chords. If you go back all the way several thousands of years ago, if you go back, in fact, if you go into our reading from this morning, it's a reading from a prophet that was living in the Iron Age several thousand years ago. But if you go back to this prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah was a major prophet. Jeremiah, in fact, is designated in the Hebrew Scriptures, designated in the Old Testament as a major prophet. A major prophet essentially designated in the Bible is there's a breadth of prophecy. There was a long period of time, a long length of time that they prophesy. They're big books. And also, there's just a lot that is in the Bible. In fact, there are 4 major prophets that are in the Scriptures. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel are considered major prophets. So would you imagine That if you are called by God, in fact, if you were called by God, the very phrase that Jeremiah hears from God coming to, before I formed you in the womb. How many of you remember those words? Early in the book of Jeremiah, but before I formed you in the womb, I appointed you to be a prophet. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. You were going to build, you were going to plant, you were going to pull down, you were going to pluck up. Y'all remember this? This is Jeremiah. So God has called him. God has equipped him. In fact, this morning as we meet around Jeremiah, he is considered a major prophet. And yet, Jeremiah does get stuck. On his way to becoming a major prophet, he's living this kind of minor, kind of mediocre life. He really finds himself where he has no place to live. He finds himself where he does not have enough money to make it. Far from anything that God has invited him to experience. In fact, those two questions that we started with this morning, will the future be better than the present? Jeremiah would say no. Also, do you have the power to make it? So again, Jeremiah would answer no to that question too. For Jeremiah, there was war. There was exile. There were terrible things that were on the horizon of the future. And yet, hope is the difference in Jeremiah's life. God invites Jeremiah, a major prophet, stuck in a minor life, to go down to a potter's house. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that so interesting to go down to the potter's house? Pottery. Same advice that we discover in our own cultural experiences. You have a bad breakup. You find that you're stuck with the kids. You find that you're kind of burnt out with work. You've got to get out. You've got to do something. Why don't you go take a pottery class? You know, that same kind of thing that we're told sometimes, that when we find ourselves stuck in those places, and in fact, just in time for the holidays, go, maybe you can do a Halloween or a fall thing. Just go down to the and take a pottery class. But for Jeremiah, it was more than that. But I mean, don't you just love it? Don't you just love it when these kinds of ancient and contemporary practices just get smashed together, a word that we were using with our kids? But the biggest impact for Jeremiah, and in fact the biggest impact that can happen in our own lives too, is what God does in that moment. Because as God invites, and we were reading it this morning, but as God invites Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house, Jeremiah doesn't take his own turn at the wheel. But what God does, in fact, is invite Jeremiah to stop, to pause, to look, to listen, and pay attention to a master potter who is working at the wheel. Have you noticed how fast everything seems to be moving right now? Have you noticed how life-changing it can be almost just to stop and notice? Just to stop and take a moment to notice what's happening right now. And also, if you have a chance, how amazing is it to stop and notice and be captured by the attention of a major artist who is at work? You know, there's this amazing, it's kind of groundbreaking research that shows that there are some people who are, that in fact, comes against some of this common knowledge that we carry with us that says, you know, there have to be some people that are more naturally more hopeful than others. The research actually shows that hope, it can be learned. And in fact, it begins oftentimes by pausing and paying attention, noticing that the future can be better, and also noticing that I have something to say about this kind of future about being different and being better. Another ancient prophet, in fact, a major prophet, the prophet Isaiah, when God invites him to do something that Isaiah at this time had rather not do. This comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 19. But when God invites Isaiah to imagine the future in a way that Isaiah was really not happy doing at that time, God reminds him, he says, I want you to stop going over this again and again and again. In fact, Isaiah 43, 18 through 19 says it this way. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? I mean, how hope-filled are those words? Don't keep going over this old business over and over and over again. God says, be alert, be present. I am about to do a brand new thing. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? I remember this verse. I remember this verse specifically because I remember the very first meeting, the very first board meeting that I had with a group of leaders at a church that I was serving at in March of 2020. And I remember that we were not at our table and we were not sitting close to each other, but we were on something that we had just found out for the very first time and definitely used for the very first time, 1-800 conference call. And we found ourselves holding phones up to our ears and having a board meeting together. And so we were talking in that board meeting about how we were not prepared for this, how we were not ready for this, how all of our thoughts and feelings about the future was, we just want this to be over. We just want to get back to the way things were. Now, I'm certain that all of you, that as you were meeting creatively in your own board meeting here at Grace Point before I was here, that you probably had a bit more hope-filled future than what we had. But at that moment, with phones to our ears, we were saying, we just want to get back to what feels normal to us. And we found that a few months later, that as we continued to pray and we navigated somehow by the grace of God away from 1-800 conference call to them being able to be on Zoom so we could at least see people. And in fact, that brought tears to our eyes, just being able to see each other on a computer screen. But we gathered around this verse of Scripture. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over your old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? And we begin to ask ourselves, what's God doing here? You see the difference? Was when we were gathered on 1-800 conference call, we were concerned and we were worried and we were stressed about what we were doing. But as we began to live with what was becoming a global pandemic at the time, we, through the grace of God, came to this place where we said, what is God doing in this moment? Back to this Iron Age prophet Jeremiah, who was watching an artist at work. Can I not do to you, God asked, what the potter is doing to this clay? Can I not do to your country, Jeremiah, what the artist is doing to this clay? And the answer is, of course you can, God. It is, in fact, Jesus that will, several thousand years into the future, who will say, all things are possible to the one who believes, Mark 9:23. Hope is what generates God's vision in our lives. Jeremiah will continue to face doubts. He will, in fact, be left for dead, thrown down a well. It is, in fact, Jeremiah that after the book of Jeremiah will write the book of Lamentations, literal laments, literal cries out to God. Jeremiah, in fact, you may remember this, is referred to affectionately as the weeping prophet. Oh, that my head was just tears that would continue continuously. Hope is the difference. Jeremiah learns the future will be better than the present. Jeremiah at the potter's house sees that he will have the power to make the future better as he is remolded, as he is reshaped by God. It's what psychologists, it's what philosophers call human agency. It's what we call, it's what we affirm as people as being children of the living God. Paul, again, writing to the Ephesians, will remind them, for we are not what he has made us, for we are what he has made us. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we may walk in them. Our agency, our power as human beings comes because God has said that we are a child of God, that we have been created in Christ Jesus for the good works for which God has prepared beforehand to every single one of us who chooses to walk in those ways. Hope is the difference. In Jeremiah's life, moving from a minor, mediocre life to being shaped and molded by God into a major prophetic voice that continues to this very day, many thousands of years later, to offer us a guide toward transformation. You see, becoming hopeful has nothing to do with circumstances now or in the past. Nothing to do with grief or sorrow or too many setbacks or failed second chances. This has everything to do with becoming clay, shaped and molded by a master artist. You see, God has created each of us from the very dirt of the earth. Our children know the story. And the greatest gift that we can give to them is for us to live that story in our own lives. Because you see, dirt, as well as Play-Doh, the Play-Doh that I shared this morning is ugly, it is nasty, one of them is very brittle and very broken. We play with Play-Doh at our house, and that's where it came from. It wasn't brand new Play-Doh this morning that those kids saw. It's also a little weird color. But if you notice, dirt and clay, it often becomes dry. Many times it becomes brittle. Many times it becomes in danger of falling completely apart until God reworks us, until God remolds us into the shape and the mold of a person who is just hopeful enough to know that the future is going to be better than it is right now. And knowing that being shaped by God gives you the power to make that future better. You see, hope can be learned by whoever we are and by wherever we are. Hope is the difference in our lives. Hope is the difference that we celebrate and that we live each time we gather here at Grace Point. And in fact, we recognize that not only has God called us to be hopeful people, but we recognize that the hope that God has and the vision that God has for us as a community of faith. And although it's easy to forget it, although it's easy to overlook it at times, that God invites us not only to gather on Sunday mornings, but God in fact invites us to be open to what God desires to rework and remold and reshape in our lives. So I do want to remind you that all of you have an opportunity to be reshaped and remolded by God. All of you have a moment in your own lives when you can find God's presence at the altar just as our kids come to and you can pray. You can also be a part of this church by joining this church, being a member of this church. And so I would like to invite you, if there is a prayer that you may have, if there is a concern that you would like to share, you can come, you can pray at the altar. I'll be happy to pray with you. Others who are in this room will be more than happy to pray with you. If you would like to be a member of this church, if you would like to join Grace Point, you can also come, and I would love to offer you an invitation into becoming a member here at this church. What we're going to do is we're going to stand together. We're going to sing our closing song. And as before we do that, I'd like to invite you, if you would, let us bow our heads and let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for the hope that you, O God, create in our world, and for the hope, O God, that you create in all of our lives. We pray and ask, Lord, that as we come into your house, and as we come to be a part of this community of faith, we pray, O God, that you will truly bring us to hope, that you will truly let us know, O God, hope is not only the difference in our lives, but hope is the difference in our world. For we pray and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
The hymn of invitation from our hymnal is 382, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Would you stand and join us as we sing?